So we left off yesterday. We began to discuss the malacha d'oraisa mamachek, and it's told in the Mareach. We said that the original malacha mamachek, as was practiced in the Mishkan, was the scraping off of the surface to make the smooth surface of the animal skins. So any type of the scraping action for that purpose would be included in the malacha mamachek. Then the Gemara extends the malacha mamachek to the Mareach, even though I'm not scraping, but I'm smoothing another kind of a surface, that's also considered to be problematic. So the one example that the Gemara gives is the question of wax. If you start to maneuver and swish around the wax in such a way to fill it up, to fill up the gaps, fill up the holes in the barrel, the Gemara says that would be malacha deraisa of mamarech. We assume that's a tolda of mamachek. Then the question became about just how far this goes into other examples. The Gemara said that one can be in violation, at least with the Rabbanon, of mamarech, even if it's not an absolute a solid. If it's something which is a thick kind of a liquid, such as types of oil, that would potentially be a problem. A thick oil would be a problem. If it's something that's very, very pourable, not just a liquid, so liquid we assume would not be any problem of mamarech at all. Then we spoke a little bit about whether mamarech applies in the realm of food, how similar is this to other malachas that are non-food oriented. We left off the end of the Shia talking about the beginning of the issue of the soap. So soap was a whole discussion already in the days of the Rishonim and into the days of the Achronim about is there a problem of mamachik or mamarech when it comes to using of soap. So even before you get to the mamarech part, there were two other issues. There was the kashrus issue that we spoke a little bit about yesterday, about general kashrus issues of soap, whether that should be important. And then there was a second issue that we just barely touched upon at the end, and that was an issue that the Mordechai himself raises, and maybe there's a whole different issue involved in using soap. Forget about mamarech for a minute. Maybe there's a problem of molid in using soap, because when you're using a soap, so then you're causing a change in status of the soap. The soap starting out as being more of a solid-y kind of a material, and then by using it, you're turning it into a regular liquid, so maybe that should be a problem on Shabbos. Why should we think that's a problem? So that's a throwback to what we spoke about, I don't know if I can say months or years ago already, when the Gemara talks about imaraskinus ha-sheleg, imaraskinus ha-bora. The Gemara says, Masechta Shabbos, that one is not permitted to take snow, or to take ice, or to take hail, and to mush it up, to bang on it, to smash on it, in order to turn it into water. So that's a problem on Shabbos. Emiraskinus ha-sheleg. Why exactly is that a problem? That was a big machlokes in Rishonim. So some of the Rishonim said it's a problem what's called molid. That's what Rashi says. Molid means that when I create something new, even though we know it's not really new, there's a law about conservation of matter or something that's not really new. On the other hand, lefir oseinenu. According to us, it looks like it's new. It used to be a big bowl of snow, and now it's a cup of water. That looks like something new. That's called the molded in a borei davar chadash. And what is so terrible about being a borei davar chadash? So Rashi writes that it's not really a malacha. It's not one of the lamed tes malachas, but it gives that malacha look to it. That idea of starting something new, making something from scratch, creating something, that's like the antithesis. A Shabbos is supposed to, we celebrate a Kodesh Baruch Hu who's not doing the Bria. So to go ahead and be Borei Davar Chadash would be antithetical to the idea of Shabbos. Therefore, Midr Rabbanon, Borei Davar Chadash is a problem. So according to Rashi, that's the reason why Emiraskin is a problem. And the other Rishonim have a little bit of a different twist on it. The Ravid writes that, it's a little bit of a different context, the Ravid writes, and then the Sefer Truma writes in this context, that maybe we're not so focusing so much on the Borei Davar Chadash, but rather we're focusing on the result. The result is you now have a Davar Chadash in front of you. And what's so terrible about having a Davar Chadash? That smacks of Nola, that smacks of Muktzah. That's similar to the sugyas in the beginning of Masechet Beitzah, where the egg is laid on Yontif. So maybe the egg is considered to be off limits because it wasn't mukhan, it wasn't prepared for beforehand. So maybe you can argue that the reason why you're not allowed to crush the ice is not so much the act of crushing that's a problem, but it's the result that's the problem. Now I have water, which didn't really exist before Shabbos, and that's considered to be like almost in the parish of Mukta / Nola. That's what the Rebbeinu Baruch and the Ravid has this in a little bit of a different application, but that similar idea that exists in Atzam Rishonim. And the Rambam had a third approach. The Rambam says that it's also because people are going to confuse this with squeezing fruit. It's just that you're not allowed to squeeze a fruit to get out the juice. So if you're squeezing and you're banging away on the ice, and that's almost like you're squeezing out the water out of the ice. So that resembles a little bit like the malacha of schita, like the malacha of disha. So we have a few different reasons in the Rishonim why ein meraskin is a problem. Now we have the question, is this the same or not? So the Mordechai quotes a possibility, maybe it's the same. Maybe the using of the soap is considered to be the same. Maybe that's considered to be also like a changing of status. And maybe that would be a problem of some of these issues that we mentioned before. But this, again, this is also not a sugya. So we spent, so far we addressed two out of the three concerns about soap. Neither of them are really a sugya. One was the kashrut issue from yesterday, and now we're talking about the muktzah, borei, molin, nola, whatever you want to call it, issue today. But the real issue that we want to discuss is there a problem of memareach, is there a problem of memachek on the using of soap? So, and one could argue that that's a problem, that maybe when I'm using the soaps, I'm smoothing off something. So that's considered to be similar to the moving around of the wax, just as the moving of the wax is a problem. I'm rubbing around the wax, moving it into place, smoothing it out the surface of the wax. Maybe the maneuvering of the soap should be a problem as well. So the strongest opponent of the using of the soap based on the issue of the Mareach was actually in the Tiferes Yisrael. Tiferes Yisrael was Perish Mishnayis, is already years after the Mordechai. Tiferes Yisrael suggests that he thinks this would be the same. It would be tantamount to the person who's maneuvering around the wax. So Rabbi Vadi Yosef has a long tshuva about the using of soap, and he raises a very serious objection to this chumrah, to this extension from the wax to the soap. Says Rabbi Vadi, when it comes to the case of the wax, so the wax is being maneuvered into place, and the goal is that it should stay there. I have a crack in my barrel, I want my wax onto my barrel to keep it there. A person has that and wants to put the wax on the braces because the braces is because it's irritating his mouth. He wants it to be there for a significant amount of time. A guy is washing his hands with soap. So where exactly is the marech? True, he's maneuvering the soap around, but where is it going exactly? Why exactly should that be a problem? So Rabbi Vadia suggests that maybe when the whole marech is done in such a way that's inosha kayama klal uklal, whatever soap is coming off and being on his hands and is out the door, down the drain, so maybe that's not considered to be marech altogether. So in order to understand that, we have to take a little bit of a step back and just figure out exactly, should have brought in demonstrations, what kind of soap exactly are we dealing with? What exactly is the marech that we were concerned about in the first place? So soap in the days of the Tiferes Yisrael, to the best of my knowledge, was not a nice cake, a bar of ivory that sat on a little ivory and a dove or something like that. It wasn't exactly what the soap that they were referring to. The soap that the Acharonim were referring to was more of a waxy kind of a thing. It was like a very thick, liquidy kind of a for lack of a better halachic term, a gookie kind of a substance. And the question was, when I'm moving that around, so I'm basically smoothing that waxy type of material all over my hands. So that was the problem that the Tiferes Yisrael was concerned with. If that's the case, so then Rabbi Vadi Yosef writes, well, then that's very different from what's happening here. Here, the soap that's coming off is a soapy, liquidy, lathery kind of a thing that's going right down the drain. So he says, that's not a problem, b'chalal. So what are you talking about? A wax. So a wax is a problem. But anytime you're talking about soap, bane of the days of the first row, bane is manazer, Rabbi Vadi says, the whole thing is not shokayam altogether. Ella, what are you worried about? You're worried about that maybe it's been mareach, or it's been machik, not on the soap that's coming onto your hands, but maybe the mareach is on the bar of soap that's being left behind. It means here you had this chunk of soap, you had this big bar of soap, and now you're rubbing and rubbing and rubbing the soap. Oh, so maybe that's the mareach. Now, this stuff, the lather that's coming off in your hands is going down the drain. That's a garnish. But the bar itself is now being smoothed off. That's almost similar. You have a rough edge of a table. So take a sandpaper to start to smooth it out. Oh, this is memachek. So maybe you can argue that our bars of soap should be a problem of memachek, not of the stuff that's coming out. The stuff that's coming off the soap is enosh hakoyama. Maybe it's memachek vis-a-vis the soap bar itself. So that's what the other poskim writes. That's memachek. That's the mareach. Ein lecha, and I'm not sure what the word for this is, memurach, gadol mizeh, a bar of soap is smooth as anything. You open up the bar of soap, it's geshmach, the first shower, the first bar of soap. But when you start to use it, then it starts to get a little messy. It doesn't look as pretty, it doesn't look as nice anymore. So he said, that's not memachik. Memachik means I have a rough edge table and take some sandpaper to smooth it off. Moshal Madavadoma, the original application of memachik in the Mishkan, had this rough, tough surface of uneven surface of the animal skins. I can't use it the way it is. I gotta go start taking knives and stuff. Who knows what I use to smooth it off, to scrape it off, to scratch it off, to make it nice and smooth. That's mache. I take a nice smooth bar of soap and I make it I make it into a fighter, a little bit of a nice smooth bar soap, just a little bit smaller. I said, what kind of a machik is that? B'chlab homolach, it doesn't make any sense. So Rabbi Vaji Yosef, another post, came right that the whole machik, mamrech, issue by soap is very, very hard to understand. That, first of all, it's Edoshachayam, a klal. So maybe that should stand be a mutter. And number two, we're not even sure that there was any mamachik. The way our soap is set up, this banazah, the bar soap itself, the chlal is not shachta b'marech. So many poskim had serious reservations about this entire chumrah of not using soap on Shabbos. Assuming within the mindset of the Tiferes Yisrael, assuming that that's correct, like the Tiferes Yisrael, that somehow, somewhere, our soap would still be included in this isra of b'machik slash b'marech, the question is there any way to get around it? So that's what Moshe Feinstein suggests in a tshuva. Well, we know that even things that are subject to b'marech, like the oil of the Gemara, like the wax of the Gemara, so we mentioned yesterday that there are two levels of b'marech. There's b'marech deraisa, which you're dealing with something which is very, very thick, kind of a waxy type of a substance. And then you're talking about b'marech, which is only midrabanan. We're talking about a merech, which is only midrabanan, when it's a liquid, but it's a thicker kind of a liquid. It's a thicker type of an oil, so that's considered to be a potential issue of a merech midrabanan. What if you have something, it's not wax, it's not a thick oil, it's pourable. You pour it down the drain. Something that pours so easily, one can argue, that's nechlal at the malacha. There's nothing there to be merech. There's no surface to be merech. The whole thing doesn't make any sense. So the Moshe raises the question, maybe if you can use soap, which is so liquidy to begin with, so maybe that wouldn't be a problem. So the Moshe draws this possible distinction between solid soaps and liquid soaps. If you're dealing with a solid soap, so that's already in the parsha of a merech, even though, again, Vajja has a good taina, what do you be merech exactly? It's already very, very smooth to begin with. But ignoring that objection, when you're dealing with a solid bar of soap, we can begin to discuss merech. When you're dealing with a liquid pourable soap, what kind of a merech is there? So it should be hefter gomer. So Moshe was not the first one to suggest this. Already the Aruch HaShulchan, already years before, suggested this chilek. Aruch HaShulchan writes that if you have a really, really liquidy soap, the stomach should be okay altogether. And the only problem is that Rav Moshe makes it in about face. Then Rav Moshe writes that even though it sounds that way, that a liquid soap should be all right. Rav Moshe says, how do you judge? How do you know whether something is really liquidy, not liquidy? So Rav Moshe writes that he thinks that any soap that's still soapy enough, still quote unquote solid enough to create the bubbles, it means it still has mamoshes of soap to it. So he says, hard for us to be Mishayar. And Rav Moshe writes, he thinks that should be a problem. So at the end of the tshuva, he sounds like he's going to be matan. At the end of the tshuva, Rav Moshe writes that he thinks that any liquid soap that's significant, thicker than just a watery kind of a mix, he thinks would be a problem. And others disagreed with Rav Moshe's conclusion. They agreed with Rav Moshe's beginning, and they disagreed with the conclusion. Other poskim write that they think that the liquidy soaps are hetter gomer. How do you know whether something is liquid enough? Very simple test. You turn it over and pour it. If it plops down if you take a piece of soap, a bar of soap, and you turn it upside down, it's going to fall onto the floor. If you take a bottle of liquid soap and you turn it around, it's not going to plop. It's going to pour nicely. So anything that pours is considered to be liquidy enough, and it wouldn't be a problem in a rech altogether. So you have really a few different shitas now in the Gedolei Acharonim over the last couple hundred years, what a take on soap should be vis-a-vis memachik and memarech. So according to the biggest machbirim, according to Tiferes Yisrael, shailas, the raisas, a very, very serious shaila of memachik and memarech on our soaps. Then you have others who turn around and say, the whole thing's lohayu d'var me'aylam, everything's het de'gom b'zmanazeh. We don't have waxy soaps, we have solid soaps. So whatever comes off this bar of soap is a garnish. It's considered to be ein hashachayam klal, and the bar of soap itself is smooth to begin with, and there's nothing to worry about altogether. So you have minakotz alakotz. So then you have those in the middle who say, well, we still shouldn't be using solid soaps on Shabbos, but liquid soaps we can justify using. And then Moshe says, maybe we have to be chashiv even on the liquid soap. So you name your opinion that you want in terms of the use of soap on Shabbos. We'll find somebody who subscribes to that view. How should we be noyeg elamaisas? I think that it appears to me that the minhag Yisrael is to split between the solids and the liquids. That I think that most people are not chayshish for a baisha. The Shmishab Tzuchosa doesn't is not chayshish for this. He assumes, like the Ikra Din is, that if it's a liquidy kind of a soap, so then it would be okay. I think that's the most of the shuls have liquid soaps and they have them by the sinks on Shabbos, and they assume that as long as you turn it over, it could basically pour, not just plop down as one unit. We assume that those are probably okay. So I think that's pretty much what most people are running today. There's some machmir, there's some more machmir for a moisha. Those are machmir not to use even liquidy soaps in deference to a moisha. What if a person's bummer stuff? A person doesn't have any liquid soap, can we be makel to use the solid soap? So the Shmir Shabbos is make a din if there's a very, very big tzarech. So one of the big tzarechs that he points out is, he says, if you have a doctor, so the doctor's taking care of a patient, so basic and medical hygiene dictates that he should wash his hands beforehand, wash before and wash afterwards. So if he has the Shabbos soap around, not soap, if he's stuck in a place, he has to take care of the patient, and his hands are dirty, and the only soap around is the bar of soap. So Shmir Shabbos says things that Kedai HaMekilim, that Mikra Din, it's probably not really a problem, B'zman HaZeh. So he thinks that B'shasach HaGadol, one could use even a bar of soap.
Where does powder soap fit in?
Powder soap should be fine, even according to Ramosh, I think. No? What is the...
I mean, sort of like the same way we have a detergent that's a powder. Soap that I don't know if they make hand soap, they have other types of soaps that are powder.
Stomach should be unless the with the bubble, wash. Wash. And it probably ends up as does it form a thick substance?
Or
the poor so detergent doesn't form together to become a mush. No, I think so. Last I did laundry, I think. I don't know, not sure. So Bizman Azeh, we have the corollary of the Shaila in terms of the soap. That's the issue of the hand sanitizers. So is that considered to be a problem or not? So exhibit A. Okay. So I was told that a doctor who's an infectious disease doctor, so he said to me that a Rav has to always carry this. He says, because a Rav shakes everybody's hands under all circumstances. So he says, especially on Friday night, he said, you have to make sure that you use your hand sanitizer. Yeah, in the middle of January, in the middle of flu season, you're shaking 200 people's hands, somebody has the flu. So you have to make sure to use your hand sanitizer afterwards. So the shy list, can you use it on Friday night? Can you use these after, can you use them on Shabbos? So the question is, are these even a problem altogether of Memachek? So there are a few reasons why these are probably not really a problem of Memareach. So one reason is that they're pretty pourable. They pour pretty easily. So that probably should be, in and of itself, should be enough of a solution to the problem. But again, according to those who are choshish, a little bit for Moshe, so maybe they are possibly a problem. But there was another tzad as well. The other tzad was that Ravad Yosef quoted that svar, that's enoshel kayama, things that disappear fairly quickly, so those are not considered to be a problem altogether. So here, it disappears in a different way than the soap disappears. The soap, you put the soap in your hand, you wash your hands off, and it goes down the drain. Here it disappears, I'm not sure whether it evaporates or does it get absolved into the hand a little bit? I don't know. I'm not sure what happens to it, but it's not there. Lamai said, 20 seconds later, you can't feel anything there. So one could argue that maybe that should be mutter based on Enoshel Kayama also. So Be'ikra Din, the poskim assume that all of these kinds of things are really mutter. Those who want to be machmir are not so happy with the Enoshel Kayama. Ramosha didn't seem to accept the Enoshel Kayama Svara. And those who are not so sure in terms of the pouring, those who basically want to be chashur Ramosha Svaras by the liquid soap. So I thought that maybe better than these are the other kind. So these are mamish liquid, poor, depending how much it's been diluted. But they're the other kinds, that they're the sprays, or the foams. The foam may be a different issue. We'll get to the foam in a second. The sprays, just spritz on your hand. There it's mamish liquid. There, I don't know how you can possibly call that mamachik. There's no molid, there's no mamish, nothing. It's a liquid that you're just pouring a liquid onto your hand. The only issue with those sprays, if you remember when we spoke back of the issue of Zorah, we spoke, there may be a problem of Zorah. Zorah means winnowing. What do with winnowing? Winnowing means when you take grain, you throw it into the wind, and it separates in the good part of the grain and the bad part of the grain. So there's a Rishalmi that says that if a person spits into the wind, so it may be a problem of Zorah. Even though the Achronim point out that it's not separating anything. It's not separating good and bad. It's one entity, it's one unit. So Alpha Pichendi Rishalmi seems to learn that the Malach of Zorah is not so much based on the separation, but it's the mere fact that I'm using the wind to separate, even though it's not separating good and bad per se, that doesn't matter. I'm using the wind to create a dispersing of things that are stuck together. So some of that's considered to be included in the malacha of Zorah. So it's based on that Yerushalmi that some poskim raise their question about these kinds of sprays. Because when I'm pressing the button on the spray, so then that's creating a force of not little wind, an air or something that's now spritzing the particles in all directions. Maybe that's considered to be a problem. If you remember back in the days of Zorah, so we mentioned that it's a really, really big chumrah, that whole idea of not using the sprays. It's a tremendous chumrah on many, many different levels. First of all, the entire Yerushalmi, we are not even sure the Yerushalmi ever said what the Ramah claims that it said. The Rishalmi says that a person who spits into the wind is Chai Mishum Zorah. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes some Achronim who say that there was a Girsa, the Tal Sofer in the Rishalmi. It never meant to say Zorah, it meant to say Zorek. It was between a hay and a kuf, just extend the line down a little bit. He said, what's the difference between Zorah and Zorek? What's the difference in the world? Zorek means Zorek l'shasarabim, means you're not allowed to throw into the street. So the Rishalmi saying what it says in the Bible also that if you spit into the street, so that's like a Zorek, that you're throwing something into the street. So Lahayud Bambi on the Nepho such a Rishalmi. But even if the Ramah quotes the Rishalmi that says it, one could raise another question maybe it's considered to be almost like a psikreshet lo nichalei. I'm the chlal. I want to spread my spit into all directions. The whole thing is very, very hard to understand. So maybe the Rishalmi holds like Rabbi Yehuda, Dovshin Miskaven. They can start pilpling about what exactly the Rishalmi held. So Rabbi Kivega is a long, long tshuva where he writes that he doesn't really think we followed this Rishalmi altogether. But the Ramah did quote it here by the sprays. One could argue that here my kavan is mamish the opposite. It means I don't want to spray to get mamish all over the place. Anyone who uses those sprays knows that if you spray it and it starts to disperse, it gets all over the place right off your hand. It gets exactly where you don't want it. So when I use them, I try to hold them as close to my hand as possible. That dafka doesn't get all over the place, then you just simply rub it in your hand. So the asa, those sprays based on the Rishalmi is very, 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 very questionable. So I think Mikra Din, I think anything you use in Shabbos is okay. If you use the regular liquidy hand sanitizer, those are okay. If you use the spray hand sanitizer, I think they're all okay. But you mentioned the foam hand sanitizers, so they may be a possible issue of molded, of changing state of something. Because it's like the whipped cream chumra. It's the flippant whipped cream chumra. The whipped cream, so the whipped cream inside the it's a double thing that when you the foam is you're taking, let's say, making the whipped cream, you're taking liquid and causing it to become a solid. Over here, you're taking a liquid and causing it to become a quote-unquote solid, namely a foam, and then when you're rubbing in your hands, so then it's becoming back a liquid again, something like that. So is that a problem altogether? Is that a problem of molded? So there was some poskim who said that's an issue of molded on Shabbos and Yontif. And others said, going back to what we mentioned a little bit before, that's hard to believe that's called the molded. To go back to the case of the whipped cream, when you press on the button and now the whipped cream comes out, how long is the whipped cream going to last? Anyone ever time that? If you don't do anything, if you don't eat it right away, does it last very long?
Few minutes.
Yeah, I don't know. So Rabbi Ribiat and the Sefer, I think, tested the different kinds of whipped cream. I'm not going to tell you what the results of the different brands of whipped cream are. I don't want to get into trouble with any companies. But we're not even sure that that's considered to be kayama altogether. And the foam of the, again, I didn't do any real experiments in terms of timing, the foam of the you know, the sanitizers. But I imagine also it's not all that long, right? I can't imagine it's going to stay very long. So if you hold that Enesha Chayama is a mitigating factor, it's probably going to be a mitigating factor here as well. At the end of the day, Mikra Din, anything, all the hand sanitizers are really motor and Shabbos. Mikra Din, the liquids are not really a problem because they're too liquidy to be real mimachek. The sprays are not really a problem because they're missing a lot of the criteria of Zorah. The foams are probably okay because it's probably not considered to be a problem altogether in terms of molets. I think Mikra Din, they're all right. To this thing on the whipped cream, Chumra. So there's some of the Hamisha brands of whipped cream have a thing that says on it, consult your Rav whether you could use it on Shabbos. By some people scratching their heads trying to figure out what possible malach could that be. It's hard enough when they write on the bottles of wine, talk to the Shabbos around the box of matzahs over there. You know, make sure to put on your whipped cream before Shabbos. So, okay, there are some machmirim on that. So kopanim, there is a theoretical issue of b'machik b'mareach and a lot of these things, but we're not quite sure whether many of these things we mentioned actually meet the criteria of that. But this does lead us to one of the most famous applications of b'mareach. That was a question of toothpaste. So this was the major discussion in the poskim last 70, 80 years about whether toothpaste falls into the category of b'machik b'mareach or not. So there's a little bit of a humorous background to this discussion. That was where Moshe, the tshuva wasn't humorous, the story about the tshuva was humorous. So they asked Moshe, famous tshuva, way back, I think it's in the first chalik of Aruch Chaim, a long time ago. They asked Moshe, what's the issue of is it mutter to use toothpaste on the Shabbos, brush your teeth on Shabbos? So Moshe wrote it also. Moshe writes, you're not allowed to brush your teeth on Shabbos because it's a problem of memachik. So apparently one of the bochum in YU came to the Rav, and they told the Rav that Rav Moshe just asered brushing teeth because of a chashash of memachik. So the Rav wasn't sure what Rav Moshe had said. So apparently the way the story was told over to the Rav, so he thought that Rav Moshe was asking it because, not because of the toothpaste, but because of the teeth. That it was considered to be like you're rubbing on the teeth to change the surface, change the layer of the teeth. So we thought that was the same as rubbing on the animal skin, to smooth off the animal skin, or rubbing on the table with the sandpaper to smooth off the rough edges. So when you're brushing your teeth, so you're changing the surface level of the tooth. So that's the way it was presented to the Rav. That's what Rav Moshe said. So when the Rav heard that, so he said he thought that was not correct. He said if that would be correct, then if you brush your teeth a few times, you shouldn't have a tooth left. So he said, you're obviously not doing that. That's clearly not what's happening. So he thought that would be okay. So then they came back apparently to the Rav, and they, I don't know, I'm not sure whether they told him the same day, or whether they went back to MTJ and came back. I can't tell you the details, but the way the story, I think Rabbi Shechter quotes this whole give and take in one of his svarim, I think in Nefesh HaRav, I'm not mistaken. So the Talmidim came back to the Rav, and they said that, no, we misunderstood what Moshe said. Moshe didn't ask for it because of memachik on the animal skin, memachik on the solid structure of the tooth. He held it was a problem of memareach, namely of the smoothing, not of the tooth, but the smoothing of the toothpaste. So the same way that the Gemara says you can't smooth off take the wax and start smoothing it out, moving it around, moving it around. So when you take the toothpaste out of the tube and you start brushing it on your teeth, so maybe that should be a problem of mimareach. So they came back to the Rav to tell him that's why Rav Moshe asked it. So the Rav said that if that's why Rav Moshe asked it, then it's also mutter. Why is it mutter based on what? So the Rav said it's mutter because it's tenor shakayama, like Rav Avadja's farmer years later by the soap. He said, what kind of mimareach is that? He said, you brush your teeth. How long does the toothpaste stay on the teeth? You spit it out in a second. So the whole thing is mutter. So it's not, you can't ask it because mimachik. You can't ask because mimareach. If you can't ask for it, then it's mutter. So that's what the Rav's response was at this point. It seems there's going to be mutter. So we have to wait and see what exactly all the facts are in terms of that, and then what other possible factors go into this discussion, this major machlokes in Moshe and the Rav in terms of the brushing teeth and Shabbos. So that's from tomorrow. So we'll try to finish up the brushing teeth and Shabbos aspect, and then move on to the creams aspect, the medical, the antibiotic creams, and all the other ointments and stuff, which may also run into potential problems with machlokes / mareach. Hopefully, Hashem will try to finish it up tomorrow. So I think the way the schedule is looking is that it looks like I think tomorrow's going to be the last.